Hi, I'm Marion McPartlin. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Kurt Elling. He's a singer with an extraordinary gift for poetry and a superb sense of swing. His voice is a finely honed instrument, leading him to inventive and even daring vocalese, which complement his unique arrangements. You do some wonderful things, Kurt.
We try to have fun.
Well, it really sounds like it. And you're from my favorite town of Chicago.
That's right.
Well, were you born and bred there, so to speak?
I certainly was. I was born there and have been raised there and have been living there since I got out of college in 89. I've been back down the south side of Chicago.
Whereabouts?
In Hyde Park.
Oh, some relatives of ours used to live there. I used to go out there all the time, and there was a club there. Oh, maybe you wouldn't remember. I think maybe you're too young, called the Beehive.
Sure, the Beehive. I never got to see it, but I know the corner it was on.
Oh, man. I used to go and hear Max Roach there. Oh, well, I don't want to get into my...
And the Sutherland, too, where it's right around the corner.
The Sutherland,
sure.
Yeah, and where Ahmed Jamal made his famous... Oh, the Pershing Lounge.
Yeah, the Pershing. We just did a gig opposite Ahmed the other night at Orchestra Hall in Chicago. He's beautiful. He sounds great.
I know, doesn't he?
Unbelievable.
He's
he just
amazing.
Goes and goes.
Yeah, God. I've known him so long. He used to be at the London House. Like, you don't remember that one, I'm sure, but he was like a kid. Amazing.
We all were once.
Well, you still are.
I hope so.
Well, let's do a tune. I would just love to hear something, especially since you brought this fine bass player with you, Rob Amster. Be nice if we could all meld together.
Let's play a little. Let's do some Close Your Eyes.
Okay.
Close your eyes, rest your head on my shoulder and sleep. Close your eyes, and I will close mine. Close your eyes, let's pretend that we're both counting sheep. Close your eyes, this is divine. Music, play something dreamy for dancing while we're here. Romance and it's love's holiday, and love will be our guide. Close your eyes, when you open them, dear, I'll be near by your side. So won't you close your eyes? So Thank you. close your eyes. Rest your head on my shoulder and sleep. Close your eyes. And I will close mine to close your eyes. Let us pretend that we're both counting sheep. Close your eyes. This is divine. Music play. Something dreamy for dancing. While we're here romancing, it's love's holiday, and love will be your guide. Close your eyes. When you open them, dear, I'll be near by your side. So close your eyes. So close your eyes. So go, go, close your eyes.
Boy, that was great.
That was fun for sure.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me that people who haven't played together, you know, you just get together and do it.
That's the beauty of it. That's one of the beautiful things of jazz, one of the most beautiful. You can just walk right into the room, start playing, call the tune.
I know. I love that. I love that. Well, when did you get started thinking about singing?
Well, I never thought about being a professional musician. My father is a church musician. And so I was...
You mean he's an organist?
Yeah, Kapellmeister, led the choir and things like this.
Wow.
And so I was given a knowledge of music, and I was given experience of the joy of singing for years and years.
Did you sing in church?
Yeah, sang in church all the time. And I was always in choirs. So I had a very long experience growing up of the joy of music for its own sake, and didn't really think about becoming a professional musician until I was already in love with jazz, had already sat in a bunch of places, and had met a bunch of jazz musicians. And it wasn't really until I met the musicians that I said, wow, I want to hang out with these people. I want to be a part of this scene. I want to, you know, have this experience.
How old were you then?
I was in graduate school by then, so I must have been 20, 22
wow.
maybe, something like this.
Well, didn't you go to divinity school or something?
I did. I went to the University of Chicago, and I was reading the philosophy of religion. I thought I was going to write big, thick, important tomes that nobody would read.
Well, you didn't think you were going to be a priest or something?
No, I didn't really have that in mind. But I was sitting in clubs so much and had so much joy with that and was having such a connection with the people and with the cats on the scene, that I sort of feel like, you know, Saturday night won out over Sunday morning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really hang until 3 in the morning, night after night, and then expect to do very well at the University of Chicago.
I would say not. So that's really, you kind of slid into it in a natural kind of a way, it seems like.
Sort of a reverse Chinese water torture, yeah.
But it's interesting that you sang in the choir, because I guess that's what gave you this kind of, I mean, you seem to have a very strong voice. I couldn't imagine you ever not having that wonderful full sound. Don't you think you probably built that up when
you were
a
kid? It developed over time, for sure. I mean, the ability to hold a lot of long notes.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
Do runs of music. I mean, you know, when Bach asks you to do, you know, something that's a 12 measure run of all 16th notes or something, you have to learn how to play that. And it's a similar thing when you want to play 32nd notes in jazz and the tempo is going by. It's just that you're inventing what the run is going to be now.
So Bach was a great help.
Bach was a great help. Counterpoint. And all music is a good help when you're that young.
And everything is sort of, you're taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Influences all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
But who, in the way of musicians or singers or whoever, who did you listen to then in those days?
Well, when I started to listen to jazz, you know, actively, the first people who I started to hear, I started to check out Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
But very soon after that, I was listening to Frank and Ella Fitzgerald, and then somebody turned me on to Mark Murphy, and then I really figured out that there was something about this jazz music that I had to be a part of.
And a part of it you are. And how about we do another tune?
Yeah, let's do something.
All right.
Let's do a standard.
That's fine with
me.
Like
a real, like, love standard.
There's a lot of those. You pick one.
How about Embraceable You?
always great to do.
One, two, three. Embrace me, my sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just a look at you my heart grew tipsy in me. The gypsy in me. I love all your charms. And come to Papa. Do my sweet embraceable above all of you, I want my arms about you. Don't be naughty, baby. Come to Papa, come to Papa. Do you my sweet embraceable? Da 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 yo fil yo fil yo ru bu fa fo to bo do bo do bo do bo do le so vo 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 fa so do vo.
Well, I must say, I never heard Embraceable You done like that. And may I say, you're even slower than Shirley Horn. Wow, but it works.
Well, it's such a magnificent composition. That's the thing about jazz is people have, I don't know if they remember how many art songs there are in jazz that people just blow over and what have you. But sometimes it's a very rich, it's a much more rich and deep experience, I think, than most of the people I get, I think, out in the house. They fall in love with tunes, you know, and they think, oh, what a beautiful tune. But really, these are art songs. They're very difficult songs.
Well, you know something, pianistically, I think when you're playing something so slow, you have to be sure not get in the way. Maybe I was a little too spare.
No, you were beautiful.
You know, you don't want somebody to be going while you're doing your...
That's right.
And so there's a trick to doing that. And it's fun for me. It's really fun.
Well, you're a master.
Well, I don't know about that. Anyway, there's more to come with Kurt Elling and bassist Rob Amster. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR, on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. Well, when you're off, you're not working a gig somewhere, who would you go and listen to? Like, what instrumentalists, not necessarily singers?
Yeah. I've always loved the tenor. I've always loved the tenor saxophone. And Dexter Gordon was one of my, I bought everything I could of Dexter's.
He was wonderful.
Yeah. And so in Chicago, when I would go out, I'd always try to catch Von Freeman wherever he was playing. And we just did a gig with Fon the other night. It was great. And Ed Peterson, great tenor player. Eddie Johnson lives in Chicago, one of the original members of the Louis Jordan Band.
Oh, my goodness.
And all the cats were always very gracious with me and very giving with, you know, stage. They'd be, oh, there's Kurt. Oh, yeah, come on up, get up.
You know, I think most musicians are like that. I just find jazz musicians a very generous bunch of people. And, you know, if you have a tune you want to learn and maybe you don't know it, somebody will come up with the changes or send you a record.
Or give you a good title.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. So they're a very giving bunch of people. But somebody once said to me, Bill Crow, he used to be my bass player. Do you know him by any chance?
I think we have met, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. He said... what I thought was a profound thing, that piano players really ought to listen, not necessarily to other piano players, but to horn players.
Hmm.
And I've always done that
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you can listen to other piano players, which is wonderful, but horn players, I don't know.
Well, they have that organic gesture of breathing that comes out in their music, in the lines that they play. You can only play so long before you have to take a breath,
yeah.
You know.
Speaking of horn players, you like Paul Desmond a lot.
Yeah, I love cats that can really tell a story. I think of Paul. I think of Dexter Gordon. I think of in a much more sort of hyper extended, incredible genius way. You know, Wayne Shorter.
Oh, but, God, I love him.
But cats who really have something incredible to give you. And Paul Desmond, of course, everybody knows his lyrical ability was beyond compare. I actually wrote a vocalise to one of his lines.
Oh yeah.
A little piece called Audrey that he wrote for Audrey Hepburn.
I remember that piece. That was on one of his real early records, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
Yeah. Dave Brubeck actually told me a little story. He said that, you know, they used to have to take a break every time that the My Fair Lady was getting out, so that Paul could go around the corner and have a couple of cigarettes and watch Audrey come out and receive all of her flowers and everything like that.
Oh, God, he would love that.
Yeah.
Paul, he was something else. Well, so are you going to do this vocalese?
Sure, I'll lay a little bit on you.
Wonderful.
And I changed the title, so now it's Those Clouds Are Heavy, You Dig.
Oh, I can play that.
One, two, one, two, three. Once upon a time, a cloud, a little cloud, gathered her friends together and began to say aloud, "Friends, we can't find God. Isn't it odd?" And they all agreed it was very odd indeed to blow about the sky like a brainless seed. Something's really gone awry when older clouds oversimplify. When they say that it's just another day, it's imperative we be somewhat more truly demonstrative in becoming provocative. Our parents neglect God, it's true. All their world is askew. They go about bickering and scheme of possessing things as though they own us too and own all that we do. Yet they can't understand just how foolish it is to build a house on sinking sand. And when we cry, they say, "Oh my," you'll grow out of it soon and start singing a grown-up tune. So the clouds made a vow, since the grown-ups had lost God somehow, they would pick something out that would keep them aware, that they could take with them anywhere, like a lock of hair or a pear, not an animal or too big. So the little ones looked about and up and down and in and out and came up with a list. They had a feather, erasers and string, pebbles and penknives and pieces of things that they found in their pockets to spare. But the shiniest object, when looking them over, the thimble was brightest, and so they decided the thimble was rightest for taking along and for knowing God was staying long and in there every day. They knew where to find their peace of mind, playing a game of tag or fame. They simply had to call out the thimble's name. Then one day, the smallest cloud took a big fall and dropped the thimble from her hand. And God turned to send just then a wise old woman cloud happened along, and she asked the little cloud what's wrong, and the little cloud replied, "God's gone." But the older cloud knew right away, so she said to the little one, "Here's your thimble, I found it today."
You know, Paul would have loved that. He would have loved that. He was, well, did you ever meet him?
No, I never got the chance.
I mean, he was such a funny guy and such an interesting guy. He was a friend of Alec Wilder, as I was, and we would, Alec and I would go to a place called the French Shack in New York, and Paul would come down. He lived close by, and he would come down with a book and go and sit in the ostentatiously or unostentatiously in the corner, and then Alec would invite him over, And then the two of them would really get into it with good conversation, and I would be sitting there like a poop, trying to get my 10 cents in, you know, these great intellects carrying on. But that was fun. That was fun.
Well, now you have your chance, Marion. Why don't you play something for us?
Hey, I do have a chance. All right.
Yes, please.
I'd like to do that. Well, I'd like to do one of my tunes, and this is called In the Days of Our Love. Peggy Lee did the lyric to this. So here goes. I'll try it for you.
It's beautiful. That
I'm glad
was
you
really
liked it.
Lovely. Absolutely. I can hear a singer with that tune easily.
It's funny, it actually is a story to that tune, but it'd be too long to.
I was gonna ask you if it was for someone in particular.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It's sort of, you know, how sometimes things just fall together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to work at it, or you scrap it and bring it back 3 years later.
Do you mean the relationship or the tune?
Or the tune. Oh, the relationship, that's something else. All of the above. Oh, goodness. Well, there's more in a minute. My guest is Kurt Elling. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, I was wondering, how did your family get into listening to you sing? Did they like your singing, or did they? Were they
well, they always liked my singing, but they didn't. They didn't necessarily cotton to my singing jazz in jazz clubs right away. In fact, I think they were pretty worried about me for a while because their impression. You know, they're from the out in Geneseo, Illinois, and you know, farm country, that sort of thing. So their impression of a jazz club was automatically, you know, call girls and stiff drinks and heroin and all kinds of tragic ideas about things. But one night I took them to a club in Chicago called Alexander's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And it was Eddie Johnson on tenor and Paul Serrano on trumpet and John Young on piano and
great
Eddie
group.
DeHaas and George Hughes, all these great, great players of their generation. And all the people in the crowd were also of their generation. So when I brought them in, and everybody's, oh, Kurt's here, oh, get him up and sing. And, you know, everybody made my folks feel so welcome. And as soon as they realized that all the people I was hanging out with could have been in choir practice with them one night or another, then their heads got turned around. And, I mean, they've always been very supportive, but that made them able to be comfortable as well.
It's funny, they should know how straight most musicians seem to be these days.
That's right, all eating granola and going for a run in the morning. And,
I think it's amazing because my parents were the same way. My father even offered me money if I wouldn't go.
Hmm.
You know, I was offered a job with a four-piano act playing in vaudeville. And, of course, they were shocked. But I went, and I'm really glad I did, because else I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you.
That's right.
Oh, which is such a ball. Now, you know, you're known for doing all kinds of off-the-cuff poetry and different things. What have you got up your sleeve that we could do, kind of a like a freestyle?
Yeah, let's do some free stuff. I brought some Ornette Coleman poems.
Oh, my goodness.
So I figured,
dangerous stuff.
I figured I would just read some things, and then you could just respond just spontaneously to it.
Okay.
Good old days. Happy to know someone who didn't know me. Helped to make a stranger free. Once a child, fetching the wood. Feeling that I was doing something good. Face and clothes all dirty, and not hurt about being hungry, as long as I could go out and play. The empty foxhole. Men sleeping in the ground, hoping to escape death, thinking of their children and loved ones. Bury not the soul in a hole whose life has yet to exist. Thank you. Sound gravitation. Hear a sound. Feel a sound. Speak a sound. Play a sound. All the gravitation of silence. Freeway Express. A way to live when one must not repeat. A song to sing when the heart can't remember the melody from the mind. A moment to fly when there are no wings. Light is still for daytime. Water is still wet. The sun still sets. Zigzag. When one can't find the straight line, they must zigzag. Unless there is a circle.
That's something I never did before. Gee whiz. It's interesting to play off that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you did great, too.
Did
that was
I?
Cool.
Do I
yeah.
get an, do I get an A?
Gold star.
Oh, good. Well, you think Ornette would like that? Boy, there's more coming up, you know. My guest is Kurt Elling with bassist Rob Amster, and our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Thank you. I just want to hear you sing more. I'm just having such a good time. And what else have you got off your many Blue Note records? Boy, you've got what, 5, 6 albums?
We have five, I guess. Yeah.
And Grammy nominations
for every one of them. And the most recent, Flirting with Twilight, we were nominated. I was nominated for the jazz vocal performance. And Lawrence Hobgood, my collaborator and the arranger for the record, we were nominated together for the arrangements for this record. So,
boy, he is some piano player.
He's tremendous. There's no way that I could have had the sustenance and the musical, you know, breadth and depth that are on the records without him. He's really been a huge stalwart right arm.
How great for you to have somebody like that.
Yeah.
No wonder you do such terrific things together. Beautiful tunes. What are we going to do now? What do you think would be a good one?
Let's do You Don't Know What Love Is.
Oh.
Until You've Learned.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Okay.
1, 2, 1, 2, chucka, chucka. You don't know what love is until you learn the meaning of the blues. Until you've loved a love you've had to lose. You don't know. Hurt until you've kissed and had to pay the cost. Until you've flipped your heart and you have lost. How can you know what love is? Do you heart fears the thought of reminiscing, and how lips that taste of tears lose their taste for kissing. You don't know how hearts burn for love that cannot live yet never dies. Until you've faced each dawn with sleepless eyes, how can you know
heart fears the thought of reminiscing, and how lips that taste of tears lose their taste for kissing you. Hearts burn for love that cannot live yet never dies, until you faced each dawn with sleepless eyes. How can you know what love is? How can you know what love is? How can you know what love is? How can you know?
Boy, that's really a great tune. It's one of my all-time favorites. Who wrote that tune, by the way?
Ray and DePaul.
Oh, yes. Oh, I should have known that. But
it's a great, great standard.
How do you decide what song you'll do? How do you...
Well, it's an interesting question. I wonder if other musicians have some other way of going about it. I always just try to pick things that... Because you're on the road so much and you start doing tunes and you get bored with what you're doing, or somebody says, hey, let's play this tune. And it's always very organic. Either it comes because we're on the road and you just hear something, or else when you start to think about what you want to do with a record, you know, you already have a list of things that you'd like to do, and the spaces just fill in, you know?
It's funny, sometimes it's a tune, maybe a tune that I don't play, and I'll hear somebody's version of the tune, and all of a sudden I think, boy, I would really like to play that tune.
That happens all the time.
Just because of hearing them do it.
Or I hear them play it, and I say, man, I wish I had written that.
Well, you've got all kinds of stuff going, writing and singing and composing, and never stops. What's coming up in the future? What are you dreaming about?
Well, I've written a number of different shows for the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Not plays exactly, but more multi-genre, multi-dimensional things. I did one about the Beat Writers where we used recordings of Kerouac and Ginsberg reading, and my band was playing live, and we had Steppenwolf actors reading live, and we had slides.
Wild.
And yeah, it was great.
Boy, so much good stuff. Well, I'm really having such a good time. I hate to think that it's almost over. It's really been so much fun.
Yeah, it's been beautiful of you to have us, Marian.
Well, of course, you're great talent. How can I miss? And so unusual and so interesting. So what can we end up with that will make us all feel good?
Well, if we have to split, I guess the masquerade is over.
Well, it's maybe a sort of an appropriate tune. Not really.
Not really.
It's not over.
Not really.
Okay.
One, two, one. Your eyes don't shine like they used to shine, and the thrill is gone when your lips meet mine. I'm afraid the masquerade is over, and so is love. Your words don't mean what they used to mean. They were once inspired, now they're just routine. I'm afraid the masquerade is over, and so is love, and so is love. I guess I'll have to play Pagliacci and buy myself a clown's disguise.
and then learn to laugh like Pagliacci with tears in my eyes. But you smile the same and you laugh just about the same. But my heart cries, no, no, it's not the same, baby. I'm afraid that this masquerade is just about over. And so is love. And so is love. Labot, labot, la da 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 da. Blabo bago bo ba do ba easy did this way do da. Blabo go do ba bo ba do ba la ya ba la ya da da ba go la de. Sa go do da ba ba da bo da ba go ba go ba la ya bo ba go play ya ba do ba do do o ge da o go da. Blabo go bo bo fa long the way, long the way, long the way, ya bo ba go do. I guess I'll have to play Pagliacci and buy myself a clown's disguise and then learn to laugh like Pagliacci with tears in my eyes. While you smile the same and you laugh just about the same, but my heart cries, no, 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 it's not the same. I'm afraid that this masquerade is just about over. And so is love. And so is love. And so is love. And so is love. We're together.
Oh, that was serendipitous.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marianne McParland and her guest Kurt Elling. Join us again next week for Piano Jazz as Marianne McParland brings you another outstanding artist for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Shari Hutchinson. Recording engineer Duke Marcos. Assistant engineer Dan Hoppler. Mastering engineer David Mitchell. Production assistant Jeanette Deloach. Production intern Adrian Stortz. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To learn more about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, and from the Friends of Piano Jazz and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.